Heterodorks, heterodox dorks.
N to the I to the N to the A, Nina Paley is here to say...
Hello, TERFs and trannies. Welcome to Heterodorks.
You and I traveled again this year together, a third time. We were out of town traveling for a third time this year.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Where were we?
We were in Denver, Colorado at the ICONS International Council on Women's Sports Summit.
Yes.
And it was full of very tall, beautiful young athletes and older athletes and Olympians and then just normal looking women and men. Probably
and
in that order.
Yes.
Yeah, there were a few men.
And a couple of trannies.
That's true. There were, as far as I know, two trannies there, unless you count the non-binary journalist as a tranny.
We always count non-binaries as trannies now. That's the new orders that we have.
Well, then there were at least three trannies in attendance.
At least three. And you don't know what's in people's hearts, so there could have been 90% trannies. So the whole three-day conference is now available online. We will make sure that that gets put into the show notes.
And we're going to talk about it.
A little bit,
because it was awesome. Yeah.
It was very awesome. Some of our previous guests also were speakers, including Carol Hooven and
Kara
Ellen
Dansky.
Joyce. Kara Dansky. Colin Wright. There's more.
There's more. We're just stupid. I'm entitled to be stupid because I got up at 4:30 in the morning. Or no, 4:45 in the morning today to bike 100 kilometers before it got even hotter, although it was very hot.
You are a machine.
Yes, I am a beautiful athlete, but not like those beautiful athletes. Those are some badass beautiful athletes.
Oh, you know, I was asked by a journalist from the cycling magazine if I felt like I stood out being at that conference. And I said, no, this is the first conference that I've ever been to where I'm one of the shorter attendees.
There was a cycling magazine journalist there?
Yeah.
Oh, I wish I'd talked to them.
Her. She wasn't.
Well,
there's. Yeah.
You know, I used them appropriately in English. I did not know.
I'm not going to sit here while you misgender a cycling journalist.
Anyway, I wish I'd talked to her. I didn't talk to any journalists because I wasn't a speaker. I was a mere hawker of my gender wars cards.
Right, which were very well received.
Yes, although I was not an official hawker of them because there were no hawking tables, but I was a black market hawker of them. But yes, I'm a bicyclist, and even apparently there were not a whole lot of bicyclists there. Although I didn't talk to the bicyclist that was there. There was a bicyclist on stage who talked about all these. Well, I've been aware of these men in bicycling ever since. What did McKinnon call himself before he called himself Veronica Ivy?
Rice.
Well, no, it was between Reese and Veronica. He had some other name.
I don't remember. Rachel. It was Rachel.
Rachel. That's right. Rachel. I knew about that big heinous jerk and made a card for him. But there have been many other heinous jerks riding in women's cycling.
There are over 50 men in women's cycling at this point. And that includes all age categories. So just maybe 2 or 3 years ago, I don't know that there was even 50 men in all of women's sports across the world, but now just in cycling, which includes a lot of subcategories, but they have identified 50 men competing.
That should be a magazine. Men in Women's Sports Magazine for men in women's sports.
It is developing its own constituency at this point. I think that that could happen.
Yeah.
Among the previous guests that we've had, and who should have leapt to your mind and mine instantly, Nina, is Kim Jones.
Kim Jones, right. Organizer.
One of the organizers, along with her organizing partner, Marshy Smith, who went to the same high school I did for a year.
Yes, and is also very tall.
And I just realized that we've got a Mrs. Jones and a Mrs. Smith organizing this. I'm now starting to wonder if those are actually their real names or if these are just pseudonyms that they're using so that they can avoid the hate.
Well, they are badass, whether they're using their real names or not. And this whole, what would you call it, organization, movement, it gave me hope, more hope than I've had in a long time. There were a lot of speakers that also brought up men and women's prisons and domestic violence shelters and the mutilation of children. They sort of framed it as there are three fronts to this war.
Yes.
And men and women's sports is the front that is maybe winning or will maybe win, because apparently a lot of Americans, well, the cynical way to put it is, well, Americans don't care if women are being raped in jails and Americans don't care if children are being mutilated, but Americans care about fairness in sports. But I think that's excessively cynical. I don't think it's that Americans don't care. I think that sports is very public. It's a public arena, and so everybody can see it, whereas the men and women's prisons and violence shelters are less visible, so people can just lie about it. And same thing with the transing of kids.
But sports, that's right out front.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, yeah, when you have some of these male athletes like Leah Thomas or what's his face from New Zealand?
Oh, God, Laurel Hubbard.
Laurel Hubbard. It is so evident looking at them that these are not delicate flowers of womanhood like I am, but are instead these giant hulking monsters that are just dwarfing the women that they're competing against. I think that if the initial wave of trannies in women's sports were more feminine and more womanly, that it would actually create a lot of dissonance in the minds of people who are trying to judge whether it's fair or not, because they judge with their eyes, not with the instruments of measurement of like times or grip strength or anything like that. But when you're judging with your eyes and you're pretty naive about these issues and you see these rotund men like our friend Veronica Ivory. Is that it?
Ivy.
Veronica Ivy.
Ivy. Ivy.
Yeah,
like see, a delicate twisting vine of ivy. Delicate.
Absolutely. Ripping down a wall, climbing up and ripping down a wall. Then I think it's easier for people to go, hey, hang on a second here. Wait, that bloke is competing against women. Hang on just a second.
Except Americans tend not to say bloke.
They will. I think it's coming.
Well, Leah Thomas, we have to thank for peaking America, because I didn't even realize how tall these swimmers were. Like Kim Jones mentioned that her daughter was tall. She was actually at this conference, and she is very tall. What is she, like 6'1"?
I think so, yes.
Yes, a very tall woman. And these other swimmers are really tall, and Leah just was way taller than them.
Yes. What's interesting is if you go to Leah Thomas's Wikipedia page right now, it shows that Leah Thomas is 6'1" also, but there's no way that that's true. And then if you search around and try to find other documentation of Leah Thomas's height, it's listed as all sorts of various things. So it seems weird that Leah Thomas is the only athlete in the NCAA who's height fluid.
Yes, I know. He's trans height.
He's trans height. He's height fluid. I was particularly impressed by Dr. Ross Tucker's presentation, which not only had an excellent technical presentation, using some sort of software that would let him zoom in and out and back and forth around this huge canvas of images and text. But I thought he structured it very well so that he made an absolutely unassailable argument that males have a permanent male advantage in women's sports. I think that we knew that beforehand. We just said, of course, that's true. But for anybody who would be on the fence or have any doubts or have any objections, I think that Ross Tucker's presentation just would have left everybody on the same page.
Now, did he talk about categories or was that John Pike?
That was John Pike who spoke about categories.
So there's a difference between group, is it group categories and individual categories, or group advantages and individual advantages? He made it pretty obvious that the trans activists are intentionally muddling these categories to try to flummox people.
Yes. If we say, oh, I'm not a man because I'm missing these particular qualities that are common to all men. I'm not a man, Nina, because I don't have a penis. Therefore, I get to compete on the women's team.
Yeah, and I'm not a woman because I don't have a uterus.
And nobody on the men's team has a uterus, so you get to compete with the men. This seems rational. If you're not a philosopher and can just destroy these types of arguments. So John Pike's presentation was quite good as well.
Yeah. All the presentations were good. The only problem was that there was only so much time, and my little pea brain only takes in, not that it took in all that information anyway, a lot of information just bounces off of it, but it was a marathon event. Many people, not just me, got a bit exhausted from one talk after another. Excellent talks. They were excellent. In fact, I missed an excellent talk that everyone was telling me about. It was so excellent. Suzanne's talk, I've already forgotten her last name, about, I guess, colonization of women, a subject near and dear to my heart since I wrote an article called Gender Colonization. And I would have really liked to have seen and heard her, and I will, in fact, check out the recording of her. But I had to take a nap at that point. I had to take naps pretty much every afternoon because my brain got full. Little pea brain didn't want
you're talking
exploding.
About Dr. Suzanne Vierling's talk.
Yes, I heard excellent things about that.
Which we coincidentally ran into her at the Denver airport on our way out.
Yes, and we had lunch with her and Dr. Dina McMillan. It's McMillan, right?
It is McMillan.
Yay, I got it right.
And that was lovely.
It was super lovely. And even Suzanne talking, everyone at lunch was referring to some aspect of Dr. Suzanne's talk. And she explained it and I went, whoa, that's a good one.
Well, let me try to recall a little bit about it, because you and I have had this experience, but people listening haven't. I think that if there are, we'll try to see if there are slides to her talk. There may or may not be, but her thesis is that we are in the fourth age of the fourth industrial age. And that in the fourth industrial age, that there is a form of colonization happening. And unlike prior ages where the colonization was happening via war in physical territory and with physical bodies, that this age of industrialization is on humanity, and that the currency is human bodies and particularly women's bodies. One of the statements that Dr. Vierling made is that when conquest occurs, that the marker or the signal that the conquest has occurred is always via a woman's body. So when it's a physical battle or physical seizure of territory, that's rape. But when it's this current age, this ideological colonialization, it is getting women to give up their spaces, to pretend that men are women, to show obedience to the colonizing ideology by putting their pronouns in their bios, by coercing other women to do so. And that these are all signs of like waving a flag and saying that the conqueror has won the territory. So I thought that was a really interesting talk. And the thing that really kicked it at the end is she said that men, hey men, this ideology is capturing your wives and your mothers and your daughters. And are you going to smile and give up the women that are in your sphere? Are you going to give them up to this colonial identity, or are you going to fight for them?
Yeah, the way she put it, I think, is like, when your women, the women who are supposedly under your protection,
yes,
are essentially raped or otherwise conquered, you are conquered. It's like,
yes,
you men have, they are a symbol of your weakness and loss. Conquered women are.
How do you feel about that?
I want to see her talk and listen to it, but when she said it at lunch, she actually beat it on her chest. Like,
she did.
Like, men are apes, but we're all apes, really. It was very clear to me at the moment. And it's very rare that somebody shares an idea and I go, ooh, that's cool. That's one I hadn't thought.
We'll have to schedule her onto the program if she's willing to talk to us.
Yes. So many women in attendance were what we would call conservative. There were also left-wing women. Apparently there was a breakout session of left-wing women, but I was not there.
Progressive women.
But this was, I don't even want to say it was bipartisan. It was like polypartisan. It was everywhere on the political spectrum, and weirdos who are not even on a political spectrum at all.
They're on a different spectrum, Nina.
That's right. Not non-binary, politically non-binary.
That's not the spectrum I meant.
Oh. What spectrum did you mean? Are they spectral beings?
Beings of spectrum? Right. Some were ghosts, some were banshees, some were specters, yeah.
And it was just, it was not only no problem, but it was great. It was just an absolute pleasure to be with all these politically different people, and men also, because everyone was united on this issue. And it was wonderful to talk to the men. The men stayed in their lane, so to speak. The men did not, you know, the men were genuinely helping the women. And I talked to a couple men that didn't speak, and they were like, I talked to one of the security guys, and
they were cute.
And he was very moved. He was very inspired by this and said that he had many daughters. And
the tall guy that had the close cropped gray hair.
Very big, tall guy. Yes. Tall and
broad.
And
the big chest and the wide shoulders. Yeah. I know which one you're talking about.
Ah, Corinna, someday a giant man will sweep you off of your size. What size feet do you have?
They're person sized.
So we'll sweep you off of your person sized feet. You know, there's that song.
Someday.
That song from the movie Fear of a Black Hat. Did you ever see that movie?
No.
We're going to have to bleep this out, but it's called Fuck the Security Guard.
Ooh. I'll get right on bleeping that.
Fuck the security guard. But, you know, you could take that literally.
Yeah.
Right. So what else can we say about this conference? Friends of ours were there. Oh, Carol Hooven? Did we mention Carol Hooven?
No, I think I mentioned Carol Hooven.
Okay.
But she gave a really excellent talk.
She did. And there was another woman there, but I guess this woman lives in Denver, so was not just hanging around the conference, named Jennifer Say.
Who is Jennifer Say?
Jen Say is a former Olympic gymnast who wrote a book a while back about, I forget the name of this particular abusive celebrity doctor who has been convicted and is now in jail of abusing girl athletes. But she talked about the abuse of young female athletes and how common it was and is, particularly among gymnasts. And she talked about how when she spoke and wrote about it, people turned their backs on her and she was canceled in a way. And then 10 years after her book was published, or was it 12 years, the rest of the world caught up to what she had been saying, and this guy was convicted. And then these people that turned their backs on her earlier said, oh yeah, I always supported you, good job. And that she has been canceled again more recently for having unorthodox opinions about COVID and schools. And she lost her job.
Except I don't think that her opinions are that unorthodox. They're just not the opinions that the elite have. They're not the opinions of the elite. I wouldn't say they're unorthodox.
They're not fringe.
Not at all.
She doesn't have fringe ideas, but they're unorthodox, like the orthodoxy that controlled her job and those other companies. You know, when you say orthodox, I'm thinking like, you know, there's lots of Christians that aren't orthodox, but then there's the
you
orthodox,
said orthodox
church. I know. No, I said unorthodox. I said her COVID ideas were unorthodox, which is not the same as fringe.
Right. Yeah. And I was saying, I don't think that they're even unorthodox.
I think they are. I think they're unorthodox. The orthodoxy was like, we have to shut schools. That was the orthodox. That was the doctrine.
I don't think that you can, in the span of like 4 weeks, have an orthodoxy. I think you need at least 8 to 12 weeks for an orthodoxy.
Okay. Okay. But she wasn't fired immediately when she said this, right? Like she.
No, she
I don't
got
actually
pressure.
Know what the. Yeah, she got pressure and they're she like, just, she didn't.
We should articulate her views or contextualize her views, which she said, and this is why I say I don't think it's unorthodox. She said that if you close schools, it is going to retard the development of the students.
Yep.
Am I allowed to say that? Let me rephrase that. If you close the schools, you're going to retard the development of the pupils.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
I thank God you didn't say boys and girls.
No. There's just one term that we use to be inclusive of everybody. Brats.
What's that one? Brats. Okay. Mm-hmm. And people were, I guess she got called racist for this.
Yes.
Among other things. She got called everything for this, including racist. And she pointed out that the students who were most
Pupils.
Likely, the brats who were most likely yes. to suffer from this were the ones from lower class families and races of poverty. What do you even call that? It's so dumb that we talk about race when we need to be talking about class. But poor kids who are frequently black kids and other racial minority kids.
Yes, Asians.
Are the ones that, yes, Indian Americans are the ones who do not have parents that can send them to private schools and private pod learning environments. They're the ones that are dependent on public schools. So she did point that out. I don't know. I say that it's unorthodox just because the, I don't know. It's well, what's a better word than unorthodox then?
Elite?
No, unorthodox. But it's like she didn't, you don't say unelite. It's like, what do you say about somebody who has a position or shares opinions?
Yeah, but you know, you know what the opposite of orthodox is, right?
Unorthodox?
No.
What? Heterodox.
Yes.
But were her opinions heterodox? Would you call them heterodox?
No, I wouldn't, because I don't think that there was enough of a consensus or tradition or history of a certain or even dissemination of a certain viewpoint for it to really be considered the entrenched viewpoint. It was just the elite viewpoint.
But would you say her views were just unelite or contrary to the elite?
How common? Common maybe?
But there's something that she was a thought criminal, right? She became one,
yes.
She became a thought criminal. She said stuff, and regardless of whether it's common or not, there was something about her views and the fact she was saying them out loud that was like super duper unacceptable to her employees and the culture.
To the professional culture. That's right.
Well, but that
the professional management class.
She was in the professional management class. That's the thing.
That's right.
She was a higher up at Levi's.
Exactly, and that's why all of this shit happened to her, is because her peers and the people who were judging her and the people who could punish her are all people at that professional management class. But she's a hero to us, Nina.
But she is in that professional management. So in other words, you're saying that there was an orthodoxy of her professional managerial class.
Nope.
And her position was unorthodox.
That's not what I'm saying.
Yes, it is.
Okay, Nina.
Anyway.
You're right. I just changed my mind. You are totally correct. I'm going to go back and edit out all of the instances of me standing my ground and having an opinion.
Capitulate.
I am. It's you. You win.
Yay. I've colonized you. Yay.
Yep. Episode 106. Nina wins the argument.
Any man that or woman that is charged with protecting you has been conquered and humiliated.
Perfect. I'll let him know.
I'm like Conan the Barbarian. Anyway.
What's good, Nina? What's good?
What's good in life? What is good in life? Winning an argument against Corinna.
Yes.
I don't want to denigrate the sacred words of Conan the Barbarian by misremembering them. But you know what? If you get a chance, if you decide you're going to edit this and you can slip in that line from the movie.
Yeah, sure. I'll get right on that tonight.
Yeah, in Arnold Schwarzenegger's voice. That would be really sweet.
Conan, what is best in life? To crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and they hear the lamentation of the women. That is good.
You coughed.
Sorry.
You're like, when did I cough? No, I noticed these things.
I coughed while I was choking on my ginger beer.
You've said, you know, three times already.
That's it?
I noticed these things.
That's not worth editing. You know? You know that's not worth editing.
Stop! Stop! One of the things that is going to come about from this conference, Nina, is I know that we've already scheduled a couple of guests. Oh, one of which I need to go back and put into the calendar and confirm. But we met some really cool people who we want to talk to even more, including a swimmer from Kentucky.
Oh, yes. Riley Gaines.
Mm-hmm.
Riley Gaines has a majestic and unique look. She is a easily identifiable celebrity.
And smart.
Yep. And modest. And a dentist in training.
She wanted to give root canals to people.
Yes. And I hope she does. I hope she gives root canals to all that have crossed her. I hope someday Leah Thomas gets a root canal from Riley Gaines.
After the jaw reconstruction.
Yes.
Well, this is awesome. This might be pretty short. This is just our update.
Yeah, what can I say? These are just awesome, badass women. And while I was sitting there listening to all these women just telling the truth fearlessly and in no uncertain terms, they were not wishy-washy, these women. They were very clear. I think I was especially moved, really from the beginning, by women standing up saying that they want to win, that they care about winning, because we are not supposed to want to be excellent as women. We are supposed to step aside and, you know, help someone else be excellent, which we do. I mean, the fact is that by being excellent, you do help other people be excellent. Like, my response to these giant athletic Ubermenschen type women was not to feel diminished.
Uberfrau?
Die Uberfrauen, yeah. Was not to, or I guess they're sort of Ubermädchen.
Mädchen, yeah, Ubermädchen.
Well, plural. I don't remember what the plural. Anyway, it was not to shrink. It was to go like, oh yeah, you know, I'm excellent in some ways too. And I want to be. Like, I want to go that direction. I want to go the direction of being more excellent and being recognized for my excellence, as opposed to stepping aside so some man or tranny who's a man.
Or a woman taking testosterone.
Or anyway, some asshole, some narcissistic asshole can take all the glory. It's like, the glory should be for excellence. It shouldn't be for dickheads.
One of the female athletes made a comment saying that sports is about teamwork and about learning leadership and about striving and getting up and trying again. And that is why women are going to win this fight, to remove men from women's sports. And she was absolutely correct.
I get it all except the teamwork bit.
I know.
That's something I don't...
Because you're a cyclist.
I'm a solo cyclist. Lots of cyclists.
You're so cyclist.
Can do teamwork, but I can't.
I had the great honor of introducing the panel on language, Nina. And in my introduction, I acknowledged that the women who were attending the ICONS conference were going to win. And being a mediocre male in women's sports, I wanted to be on their team.
It was very nice when you got up there and asked everybody what your sex was.
Yeah, what's my sex?
Male!
Yep, I had a whole room of people yelling that at me. Then I broke down and cried.
Yeah, and you asked...
I thought they were going to yell female. They didn't.
You asked what your pronouns were, and everyone said, him.
I know, I thought they were going to say she, her, Nina. I thought it was just going to be you sitting embarrassed while a whole conference room full of women athletes acknowledged my womanhood on stage. But no, that's not what happened at all. It was horrifying.
Yeah, but you're still not genocided.
I'm not. But I had to go back up to our hotel room and dilate. Until I felt better.
So gross.
That night, though, Nina, you did ask me. You said, I imagine that when you were a teenager and you were starting to transition, that these type of women, these strong, powerful women, that these are the sort of women that inspired you and that you wanted to be like. And I said, yes, Nina, I can feel a swelling in my breast, actually, and it's not gynecomastia.
You should just do a full stand-up act. You could go to the Edinburgh Fringe and follow Elaine Miller.
I would love to. That would be awesome. I just don't know how to sound Scottish.
In fact, she does the whole act about, I guess, you know, the vulva and the vagina. You could do a whole act about whatever the hell it is you have.
Sure. Let me just develop some language to describe it in a way that won't get me lynched by somebody.
Or not.
Well, we would like this to hit soon because we've got a crazy guest coming up. Oh, I've got to send a reminder to him.
Yeah. Sorry that we've been not exactly one episode a week. Hey, should we thank listeners who are supporting us on...
Yeah, if you bring that up, I'll edit this pause out.
I am going to name, by first name only, so they don't get in trouble, our monthly supporters on...
Hey.
Spotify, which used to be Anchor, and which apparently is making it more difficult for people to support us financially. Nonetheless, we're very grateful for those of you...
Uh-oh.
Do I have to do this again?
No, not at all. Does that mean that people should go to your Patreon if they want to support us? Is that a better way of doing
it? People should go to my blog. They should go to blog.ninapaley.com, and there's donate stuff on that blog.
That's a good way to do it.
In the upper right-hand corner, there's various buttons you can donate with, including PayPal and including Bitcoin. Although I'm pretty sure... Spotify and Patreon take credit cards. I don't even know how all this works. I don't even know what banking platform is going to kick us off.
Yeah, this is why we can't make money, is that we can't even direct people where to give money.
Well, we don't do it for the money.
We do it for the lulz.
We do it for the validation.
All right. Thank you for the nice notes. Thank you for the wonderful reviews on the Apple platform. We've been getting some very good ones.
Yes. And actually, if you do have tips for us for monetizing without becoming sellouts, that would be good too. I'm really not interested in reading ads on this show.
Yeah. But if you have tips on how only one of us can be a sellout, let me know.
Corinna's ready.
Yeah, I am.
I also
can advertise on my half of the show.
I don't want to make it subscription only because I feel like if we make something, then people should be able to access it. But we could do some subscription-only bonus things.
That's true.
We need a conversation. We've been busy, okay?
Yeah,
anyway.
If you have ideas, let us know.
Thank you, 11 monthly supporters, including Molly, Michelle, Sarah, Juliet, Goodman, Desiree, Jennifer, Sa, Corinna, who's that? Oksana, and Oksana again. Thank you.
That's weird that we have two people named Oksana who are giving us donations.
There might be one person named Oksana who is, there's non-binary, and then what do you call the opposite of that? Bi-binary?
Bi-binary, yeah.
She's two of them. She inhabits the full binary.
Yeah, there used to be a retail store for those types of children called Bye Bye Baby.
Well, she's an adult. She's an adult who is supporting us, and thank you. And I don't know if her name is pronounced Oksana or Ohana or something else. But whatever it is, she has bought us some Namoil tofu.
Thank you. It's good stuff. Turfs and Trannies, thank you for sticking with us. We've got some incredible episodes up ahead for the rest of the year. You might even see us in person at some point, depending on what happens.
Yeah, and some of you did see us in person
at this thing. That's right. If you feel like it and you have a university connection and you want to have two heterodox, not unorthodox, heterodox speakers at your campus, drop us a line.
Yeah, we want to go out in the world. We want to go out there and win.
Preferably someplace within a day's drive of Urbana or Indianapolis.
Yeah, Midwest. Thank you for listening, Turfs and Trannies.
Goodbye.
Yay.
Hey, everybody. Thank you for listening to Heterodorks. You can support us by visiting our page at anchor.fm/heterodorks or by supporting Nina Paley at patreon.com/Nina Paley. You can also support us by writing a review on your favorite podcast site, such as Apple Podcasts. Thank you.